The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Folder, a call-in talk show that looks at current events and major issues of our generation through the lens of the sure word of faith and prophecy.
And we are back live tonight, Mike Folder, Understanding the Times. Glad you're tuning in live or on podcast. We have a dandy tonight, folks. Christian talk like you rarely ever get it. I doubt you'll ever get it like this. I'll tell you our topic in a moment. Shout out to the Young Turk Style, Jimmy Dean Jr. How you doing there?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Mike?
Wonderful. Just wonderful. That's it?
Just dandy.
Dandy. How that's about that a little one? Better. Enthusiastic. Like a touch of that every now and then. Okay. I want to thank my number one sponsor, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got news for you. He is, according to Hebrews 13:4, he is the judge. He is the judge that will judge fornicators and adulterers. Ooh, that's a pretty heavy one. People don't like to think about Jesus, sweet Jesus, about being the judge. And we're not just talking in the next life. We're going to be talking about that tonight. Fornicators and adulterers, he will judge in this life. So there are some serious consequences, especially if you claim to hold to the name of Jesus Christ. Now to the lighter side, shall we? Wow, was that a transition? Are you ready, Style, for these dad jokes?
After that intro, I don't know if I am.
We got people that are tuning in just for these dad jokes. Folks, I was going to tell a time-traveling dad joke, but Style didn't like it.
Is that true?
Well, I told it in the future. You said you didn't like it, so I'm scrapping it.
All right.
See, I had to explain it. See, the wife wanted me to run that, and you did not get it like I told her. All right, so slice of apple pie in Jamaica is $2.50. It's $3 in the Bahamas, but only a dollar in Cuba. What is the significance of this, Young Style?
You tell me, Mike.
These are the pirates of the Caribbean.
That's pretty good.
You know, my coworkers laugh at my jokes during in-person meetings, but never during online meetings. So I asked them why. Do you know what they said?
Why is that?
Your jokes are not remotely funny.
That's pretty good, too.
Did you hear about the kidnapping at the elementary school today here?
Oh, what happened?
It's fine. He finally woke up. All right, we're going to stop there.
That one's the winner. It shouldn't have been that funny.
That's the winner?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not expect that one to win.
It shouldn't have been as funny as it was to me, but it was.
All right, but the time travel joke went right over your head into the future.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe into the past.
Certain took care of it.
Listen, we are live call-in talk show. Our number is 888-677-WORD-9673 if you want to call in and talk about our topic. What is our topic tonight? Well, we're talking about Christian marriage and the marriage bed. And this is not 101, folks. This is 201. This is advanced marriage and marriage bed. And we did Gender Games 3 about a year and a half ago. You can go to Sword and Dove Ministries. Just Google SwordandDoveMinistries.com. And you can go to the relationship button under podcast. And Gender Games 3 was on the marriage bed. We started kind of there. But the Holy Spirit told me clearly a few weeks back that he wanted me to revisit this topic and take it further. And I'm like, Lord, why me? Why do I have to be the one to cover this controversial hot topic? Because nobody really does in church circles, really. You may get a sermon or even a seminar here and there on marriage, but it's only about what I call the marriage box or the, during the day. It's only very general. It doesn't really address the issues of the marriage bed in Christian homes as far as night goes. So you have two parts to marriage. You have day and night. And it comes down to that, and it always will. And I know this because of Hebrews 13:4. So let's read that. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed, the marriage bed, should be undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, and there is a difference, and both can be married, God will judge. Let your conversation or lifestyle be without covetousness. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or husband. And be content with such things as ye have. So that is our main verse for this study. And so God has asked me to take it to another level, and we're going to do just that. And I thank God for radio, because this is a difficult subject to talk about in person when people are staring you down. So I understand pastors that don't preach or teach much on this topic, but we can get away with a lot of things on radio, can't we?
Not all of them, though, Mike. Oh, there's still rules.
We are not going to mention any of the seven deadly words.
Okay.
So like Moses, I said, Lord, don't send me to do this. But he said, you have to go. So here I am. But listen, we're talking to Christians. We're talking to married Christians tonight. And that's who I'm addressing. I don't care about your sex life if you're single, Christian or not, and sleeping around. And neither does God, really. It's not good. It's not going to be blessed. I don't care if you're single again, a divorcee, and you're sleeping around and not married again. We're not talking to you. And God, I don't care. And God really doesn't care, because there's not going to be anything good or be a blessing with that. And we have the Word of God to back us up. Even if you're cohabiting, living together as Christians, you're still playing house, really, if you're cohabiting. And listen, if you could say, well, we're engaged, we have a date, you know, I've heard all that. Listen, the first ring, if you're Christians, is a betrothal. You are devoting yourself and promising yourself only to that other person, that you will be preparing yourself for marriage. You will stay pure. You will not be with anyone else. You will not pursue anyone else. That's Christian engagement. Living together, cohabiting, you're just playing house. Because you know what kids can do at the end of the day? They can pick up their toys and leave and say, I'm going home. I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't want to play with you anymore. And they're gone. So marriage, you need that second ring if you're Christians. Again, if you're not really Christians, you're Philistines. You're Greeks. I'm not talking to gay partners or, quote, their marriage either, because that's not the marriage bed the Bible talks about. There's no blessing there. That's not a good thing in God's eyes. So we're not talking to them either. So we're talking to Christians. And basically Paul tells us there's two boxes. There's the marriage day box, and then there's the marriage bed night box. And one rules the day and one rules the night, pretty much. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that go on in a marriage, in a home, in a family during the day. And the wife is usually the one, she's like the son for the most part. She's like the son who manages the household, manages the children, manages the day, manages the schedule, oftentimes the finances, not always. There's that marriage box, but then there's the marriage bed, the night box. And that oftentimes, and usually is, propelled by the husband. And especially over the months, over the years, over the decades, he is like the moon that rules the night in the home. And there's nothing wrong with either one of those. But notice Paul says that marriage is to be honorable in all. The institution of marriage, one man, one woman, committed in covenant for life, especially Christian marriage. It's really true for all cultures, though. But again, if, you know, God isn't concerned about the marriage or marriage beds of Muslim, Mormons, or Hindus who are polygamists or believe in polygamy and would do it if they had a chance. And, you know, the West, oftentimes the marriages in the West are falling apart because they kind of cross their fingers when they say I do. They think they have an out. They have easy divorce. If it don't work, we'll get out. Unfortunately, that has slipped over into Christian marriages. The Christian divorce rate is way too high, isn't it? I mean, it's not quite as high as, you know, pagans out there, but it's higher than it should be. And I'm going to tell you, 80, 90%, if not more, of divorces, including Christian divorces, stem from the marriage bed. They stem from unresolved issues, not just infidelity. That's, of course, a major, major biggie. But they also stem from unresolved issues in the marriage bed itself. And they spill over into that day box. They spill over into that marriage and all these other areas of life. You know, when I was in Cambodia a few weeks ago, I commended them. This is amazing to me. It seems like other than your very religious Christian and Jewish homes around the world and in the West, America, that do believe in the institution of marriage and honor it and abide by it and stay true to their covenant vows. The Orient, of all places, Asia, is the place that marriage is honored probably most, you know, at large. And I commended them for that. Even though they're mostly Buddhist or even communist, they usually marry for life. They stay mostly true, not always, but they believe in that marriage. And you can see it over there. And I spoke at a couple's dinner, and I commended them for the fact that, you know, they, you know, usually wait before they go to the bed until they're married, and they do a pretty good job of serving one another, sacrificing for one another, and, you know, I'm speaking in generalities, of course, but why is that? Why is it in a Buddhist or communist culture, society, they seem to honor the institution of marriage better than we do over here in America? That's a sad indictment, isn't it? So, Style, are you ready for this topic tonight?
I'm ready to learn.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, it is not good for a man to touch a woman. What in the world is he talking about there? And how in the world are you ever going to live up to that? Have you ever been a teenage boy or a young adult and not touch a woman? What is he talking about? Well, he's speaking to a Christian audience. He's talking to the church at Corinth. He's talking to young people that are still single in the church, maybe even divorcees. And notice he's really addressing the man, because usually it's the man. Usually, not always. Don't call me about exceptions. It's usually the man that propels the sexual activity, that propels the marriage bed, right? But it says if a man's not married, it's best that he not touch a woman. So you're dating. What does that mean? Well, that Greek word touch means to an impact touch. It means a touch that will change things. It's a touch that's going to heat things up. So he's saying you're best, if you're Christians, not to go past first base. What's first base? Holding hands, have their arm around their shoulder, you know, a brief hug, you know, that's safe, right? You're not really touching to make an impact or to change. But when you start caressing certain areas of the body, then that's going to impact the change. And that's what Paul's talking about. And he's saying that you're going to start burning. And if you are burning, he says in that chapter in verse 9, but if you cannot contain yourself, if you cannot keep from touching, then let them marry, right? That's what he said. For it is better to marry than to burn. So that is the default position for Christian men and Christian women, is to work towards marriage. Now, there's always exceptions of those that are dedicated. We've talked about this in past shows. Again, you can go to Gender Games 1, 2, 3. We talk about dating. We talk about fornication, adultery, divorce, and we got into the marriage bed. So, hey, you can hear us live, all our podcasts, all of our shows. You can hear us on Odyssey. You can hear us on your iHeart app, thewordcleveland.com, our station site. But we are coming to you live from the studios of Salem Communication in Seatown, Ohio.
Feeling a little stressed lately. From work.
I needed that report like yesterday.
From home.
You better not have flushed another gerbil down.
From the world. A new tropical pandemic has formed in the mid-Atlantic. A fourth layer of masking is now required. Then treat yourself to a touch of healing massage. It's simply the best. This Christian-based practice has provided certified massage therapy for 3 decades within Westlake Chiropractic. So if you or someone you know needs deep tissue or relaxation massage, then call or text Nanette at Touch of Healing, 216-346-5867. Gift certificates available. Mention this show and get $10 off on your first visit. That's Nanette, like the play No No Nanette, at 216-346-5867. So don't stress, but de-stress. With a touch of healing massage.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
Ah, Frankie Sinatra, that's a great song, and that should still hold true in Christian circles, right? The horse could be the engagement, and the carriage could be the marriage itself, but then once you're married, the horse is the marriage, and the carriage is always the marriage bed. So don't forget to keep that horse and carriage rolling along for the rest of your lives. You want to do your best to continue to have an active, positive, safe marriage bed experience, Christian couples. You may be listening and say, who is this guy talking about marriage bed? What does he think he is, some expert? Is he a doctor, like Dr. Ruth level? Well, first of all, Dr. Ruth, who was Jewish, a secular Jew, I think she's deceased now. She gave the worst advice ever over the phone about sex. But yeah, I'm Dr. Mike tonight. I am an expert. I'm going to tell you 2 reasons why I'm an expert on this subject. And I'm only, again, talking to Christian couples and future Christian couples. I don't care about the rest of you. You're going to do what you're going to do. Pagans are going to do what they're going to do. Backsliders are going to do what they're going to do when it comes to sex and sleeping around. But one, I know the Word of God on this topic very well. I know what Paul and Solomon had to say to Christian wives and Christian husbands. I am absolutely certain I am AC on this topic. I am speaking as one with authority because I've been called by the Lord Jesus Christ. Like it or not, because I ask myself the same question. Who am I? Don't ask No-No Nanette, the wife, might be in trouble. The second reason is, I've been saved since I was 17 years old style, all right? And I'm very normal, very healthy, 110% heterosexual, and I've only had sexual intercourse with 2 women in my life, my first wife and my second wife. And that was only when I was married to them. So, yes, I married as a virgin. And, yes, even when I was divorced, I re-virginized and stayed a virgin then. So I have been a faithful husband. I've never cheated on any of my wives. physically. Now, in my imagination, yes, I have cheated. I have had adulterous affairs. I've confessed that before in my imagination. But never cheated. And I like to think that 75, maybe 80% of the time, I'm a pretty attentive husband during the day, a considerate husband during the day, somewhat patient and sensitive. Not always. I can speak with a tone or raise my voice and sometimes be a little harsh, and then I need to be quick, harsh with my words. Let me clarify that. I need to be quick to repent, right? I need to humble myself, and that's not always an easy thing to do. Sometimes you're sorry but not sorry, but yet you got to get to that point where you're really sorry and say you're sorry and mean it, right? And that's true for the husband and the wife, all right? So that's where I'm coming from. Christian covenant marriage, and it is a lifetime covenant, is joint ownership. People don't want to talk about ownership, but your body belongs to the Lord if you're a Christian, right? Your body is the temple of God. But if you're married and you've entered into covenant, your body belongs to your spouse. Now, like it or not, what did Paul say about that? 1 Corinthians 7, once again. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. He doesn't want you sleeping around. He doesn't want you fornicating. He doesn't want you going to prostitutes. He doesn't want you looking at pornography. That's fornicating. That's sin. There is a curse that will come with that. Who's usually more likely to go to strip club style, men or women?
I'd say men.
Probably 90% at least, right? Who's likely, more likely to look at porn online, naked bodies?
Probably men.
Men. You are so swift there. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That means goodwill. And likewise the wife to the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. What's that word power? That word power is exousia. That's to mean exercise authority. But it doesn't stop there. Likewise, the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. See, it's joint ownership. You don't own your body anymore when you get married. You need to understand that. And that never changes, folks. And the wife doesn't own her body anymore. The husband doesn't own his body anymore. And then Paul says, now you can get mad at me, but then you really are getting mad at Paul, aren't you? And if you're getting mad at Paul, then you're really getting mad at the Holy Spirit, who's the author of this book and this letter, aren't you? And now you're in a bad place, aren't you? Now you're in a corner. Now you're in a pickle, right? Defraud ye not one the other. Defraud. That means don't rob each other of something that already belongs to you. Don't deprive. Don't withhold. Defraud not, except it be with consent for a time, Paul says, that you may dedicate yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Where? Where do you come together again? In the marriage bed. Maybe it's the marriage sofa, right? During the day, if you're really lucky. That's Satan. I don't know. I'd rather be in the bed during the day anyway. Sofas just aren't comfortable. That Satan tempt you not for your self-control. All right? So Paul is saying a lot here, isn't he? He's saying delegated power. You are delegating power over to your spouse when you get married with your body. You don't have authority over it. They do. So, you know, I drove on the highway to get here. I drove past a state trooper. I was a little over the speed limit. He caught my eye. I watched him in the rearview mirror. I was good. I wasn't too much over the speed limit. But he has delegated authority to pull you over at any time, doesn't he? Now, you can avoid that. You can run from that. You're going to have bigger problems, aren't you? There's going to be more flashing lights chasing you if you avoid it and run from it and violate the authorities that God has set up, right? Delegated authority, that's what this is about. And listen, no spouse can come along and say, well, I think God's telling me not to have sex for a while with you, honey. God's telling me. I kind of feel like it's like I feel dirty afterwards. It's not a spiritual thing. I need to be more spiritual. I need to have more time in God's presence and worshiping God. Sometimes men can think this way and women can think this way. But is that scriptural? You can't make that decision by yourself. Paul says it's got to be consensual. Your husband has to sign off on that. You can't come along and say, I'm too spiritual for this. And there's wives out there that have done that. I know them. Not that I know them personally, but I know about it. They might think it's unclean. They might think it's unholy. They might feel ashamed, but they shouldn't if they're in the marriage covenant. The marriage bed should be a safe place, not only physically, but psychologically, right? And you shouldn't be feeling, don't let the devil deceive you and have you deprive your spouse of what belongs to them because you think it's unholy, unclean, unspiritual, or even dirty. And so don't think yourself something, you know, above that. Now, if you agree, for some reason, your family or your marriage is facing a huge problem, you can agree, Paul says, to fast from sex in the marriage bed. You can agree, but only for a short time, Paul says. Dedicate yourselves to prayer and fasting, but you better come back together because there's a lot of temptations out there. There were a lot of temptations in the Roman Greco culture 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this. How much more today in this neo-Roman Greco culture with the internet, with billboards, with television, and women, the way they dress today, for example, you know, short skirts, midriffs, low tops. Men are being bombarded with temptation, and that's what Paul's talking about. So, I'm going to get myself in trouble. We are a live call-in talk show. Our number is 888-677-WORD-9673. If you want to call in, I dare you, and chime in on this topic. Styles sitting over there in trepidation or just cracking up.
I'm just
up.
Enjoying the show, Mike.
Are you really enjoying it?
I am.
All right. Listen, if the husband were to make a list of how he wants, what he wants from his wife's body, what would you guess is at the top of that list? At least, if not one, number two. Style?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. Like.
This is the problem. Nobody wants to talk about this. Sex, right? Sex is going to be, especially on going into marriage, but sometimes that never changes over the years, through the years, right? Of course, now childbearing, babies, husband wants the family. Of course, if the wife's the one that's got to carry it and go through those 9 months and all those hormonal changes and do this delivery, he may want the wife to manage the household, you know, take care of the home, especially if he's working full-time and she's not. He may want her to, like myself, give me a massage or trigger point therapy when I get injured playing basketball. She's a massage therapist, you know, no. So I ask her, hey, can you work on this spot? Can you help give me a little adjustment in my back? You know, she can do that, right? When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about what the wife's list looks like and what she would like mostly from her husband's body, right? But we are coming. You can hear all our podcasts, and there's over 150 of them. You can hear us on Spotify. You can Google them. Audible, thewordcleveland.com, but the best place to go is swordanddoveministries.com. Go to podcast page. There's 18 different categories of podcasts, everything that you could want to know about the Bible and all these different topics, and 18 wonderful different pictures of myself. But we are coming to you live from the North Coast of the good old USA.
Thank you. If you thought there was drama and tension in the Hunger Games, how about the Gender Games, where we all participate, like it or not? God sure made life interesting when he sculpted Eve. In the Gender Games course, Mike instructs Christians on the dynamics and challenges of relationships between the two sexes. From the thrill of dating to the agony of divorce, romance and the marriage bed, and yes, even cohabitation and gaiety. This course comes in an attractive 10 CD case or in MP3 files, class handouts included. To order, call or text Mike at 216-346-0789. A $50 donation to Sword and Dove Ministries for the 10 CD set for your library. A $25 donation for 10 MP3 files. That's 216-346-0789.
Motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night, when
everything's... Oh, I love that song, Afternoon Delay. When you're married, it's always right. If you can get the other party to cooperate. Sometimes, you know, they're just so busy during the day. All right, but I consider it a bonus when it happens, right? Hey, listen, if you're looking for a great local church here in Northeast Ohio, you got to check out New Life Church in Lakewood. It's a very friendly, diverse demographics. We have a great worship team and experience. We are a Word of Faith church, and we do pray for the sick and suffering and demonized even. Yes, that happens sometimes. Every week with our altar ministry team. Our current series is on the book of Ephesians, From Death to Life, with our senior pastor, Bob Kistemaker. So we have three services, 8:30, 10, and 11:30, online and on site. And children's ministry is provided at the last two. So Google New Life Lakewood or check out lnlc.org to find us and find out more about us. Our motto, come as you are. Expect to be changed by God. No perfect people allowed. New Life Church in Lakewood. All right. Do want to share scripture one more time here in Romans 12:1. A lot of people don't think about this in the context of marriage, but I think it belongs there. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's not just talking about bowing down on your hands and knees and worshiping God. That's not just talking about raising your hands in church when you sing. It's also talking about the marriage covenant. You are offering your body sometimes as a living sacrifice. Wives, I know, I'm sure, that at times you don't feel like doing that, and it's same is true with men for different reasons, right? But that is a living sacrifice. And when you do it with the right motive, in the right attitude, that is holy and that it's acceptable to God and it is your reasonable service. And God is pleased. He's pleased when we please one another because, listen, that's why you got married, right? You married them because you wanted to be with them. And that means in every way. And that means you need to be, you're going to be naked and unashamed, as the book of Genesis says, as Jesus talked about. All right? So, listen, husbands need to work. They really need to work at being connected and to the day box, the marriage box. They need to sometimes, especially over the years, husbands need to work at being considerate and patient with their wife, with their kids, with their pets. They need to work at being attentive. They need to work at being more sensitive to their wife and their kids during the day. And that is that for a wife can be a form of foreplay, right? To get them more in the mood when nighttime rolls around. But the husband also needs to be true and faithful to the marriage bed at night, right? He can't be going elsewhere to quench his thirst. And husband, the marriage bed needs to be a safe place. The husband cannot be harsh in the marriage bed, physically or verbally. So there are guidelines. And we talked about that in our last podcast we did, Gender Games 3. Go to that relationship button. You can listen to it. Listen, Ecclesiastes 9:9, written by Solomon, right? One of the wisest men to ever live. We're talking Paul, we're talking Solomon. These are probably the two wisest men that ever lived after the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who was perfect and God in the flesh. In verse 9, he says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou loves all the days of your life, for that is your portion or your reward in this life, for thy labor that you have done under the sun." So God is saying, because one of the things that the wife wants the husband's body for is to go get a job and to work and to get up every morning to go to work and make a living and make an income. Most wives are not looking for him to be Mr. Dad and stay home. So there may be some exceptions, right? But for the most part, they want him to work, right? So that's one way they could make a demand on his body, right? What would be another way they could make a demand on his body? Well, to do chores around the house, especially the major chores that, you know, that they need help with this or they need him to fix that. That's his job, to provide protection for the physical protection. Sometimes for him just to be home or to be with her and the kids, to be there at night, that is a form. And the wife has the right to ask him to do that, right? Because it's not his body, it's her body. Hey, she may want a massage, right? She may want a massage without any benefits at that moment. She wants a massage that has no connection to sex for that moment. Now, you can't stay that way all the time, ladies, but she wants her foot massage. She needs a shoulder massage, a hand massage. She can ask for that. Husband may not feel like doing it. It may take him 5 minutes, 10 minutes. He might be tired. He might have a headache. He might have a hard time staying interested, focused. See where I'm going with this style? But he's making a sacrifice for her. He should be. He's a living sacrifice, and that's holy and acceptable. She wants a foot rub. Maybe she just wants him to sit with her with their arm around each other. Or maybe she's having a moment and she needs a good cry and a good shoulder to cry on. That's his job, right? She has a right to his body, right? And he might be there 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and he might be thinking, is this ever going to get over? Right? But he's making a sacrifice. She may want him to discipline the kids. Little Billy's been nothing but trouble today. You go deal with him as soon as he walks through the door. Remember my mom? I hated that moment if it was me. When Dad came home, you wait till your father gets home. And then my dad heard about it, and he was expected to deal with me, and that sometimes involved corporal punishment. Yes, a spanking. Yes, a belt. And I'm the better for it. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. And then again, she may want his body for sex, right? Hey, that's right, over the years. Sometimes that changes, though. So those are reasons, things that a woman would be looking for as far as a man's body. Again, Paul says, your body doesn't belong to you anymore if you're married. So be prepared. Be prepared. Listen, there's things that families need to deal with as time goes on. You know, there's a thing called a midlife crisis, for example. And men are particularly prone to midlife crisis, even Christian men, where, you know, they maybe are getting a little weary or worn out by the everydayness of the marriage and all the responsibilities and, you know, the idea of working and then coming home and this and that. And then, you know, they have to be on the lookout for, they have to be on guard for temptations. Or maybe things have kind of waned in the marriage bed over the years, and all of a sudden the husband's starting to look around more, and he's noticing other women more, and he's imagining this and imagining that. Imaginary lovers, they never do anything wrong, do they? Imaginary lovers, they're always there for you. They're always available. They're always perfect. That's a deception, though, isn't it? And then there's this thing called menopause, and that can change the woman's libido. That can really change the woman's sex drive. And so the husband's maybe like, well, what happened here? Where did that go? And so they have to work through that. That doesn't mean the marriage bed should disappear or wane. Again, this is what you got to work at. It's got to be consensual. So if one spouse still wants activity in the marriage bed, still wants that to happen. And by the way, you know how often this happens in Christian households and marriages? How many times a week would you say on average there's some kind of sexual activity between a husband and wife?
Five out of seven.
Man, you're really hoping, aren't you? I know.
I'm just shooting in the dark over here, man.
You're looking down the road, and you got high expectations. Let me bring you down to earth there, buddy.
I'm hearing you talking about the marriage couch over there, Mike. 5 out of 7.
It is something you should look forward to, right? It's probably about every other day, maybe 3 times a week is the average. Okay, that's going to vary. And some guys are out there thinking, I'll take that. 3 times a week, see? Not just 3 times a month. So, and then what is the average length of time when you actually get to the main event, when you actually get to the act of marriage? 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? If one spouse really doesn't want that, I mean, how much of a living sacrifice is that? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Sometimes it could last longer. Hey, the beauty of it is that when it does last longer and both are enjoying it, right, that both are being mutually satisfied in some way or another, that's what it's there for the enjoyment, for the pleasure, for the benefit, the benevolence of one another, right? And it, again, we've talked about a lot of these things in previous podcasts, but it is a way to bring healing and restoration into the marriage. All the wear and tear that sometimes a marriage goes through during the day, during the heat of the moment, sometimes there is, you know, heated words. Sometimes there are impatient moments. Sometimes there are a lot of problems that, and so that's a way that God has designed to bring restoration. Again, don't go to bed angry, Paul said, right? You got to learn to go to bed and be at peace with one another. And if you've said something hurtful or harsh that day, then you really need to square that up. And not just so you can have sex that night, guys. I mean, you just really got to do it for the marriage itself and for the relationship. Oh, man, am I getting in deep in this or what? Really deep. I think we're about ready to go to another break. But listen, they always say that men have this fear of commitment, right? And why is that? Even today, and even sometimes Christian young men have a fear of commitment. And now sometimes I think even the young women do. But why? They fear the commitments of the day box, because they think that maybe they can't keep up with all that. They can't, you know, provide a good enough living and make enough money to raise a family and to do it right and do it well and send them off to college. And they worry about these things. And maybe I won't be a good dad. Maybe I'll be too easy on them, or maybe I'll be too harsh on them. Maybe, you know, this or that. So there's that fear of that every day. I'm in the box, right? The marriage box, and I can't get out. It's a lifetime commitment, right? But this is God's best. This is God's design for man and woman. And then he's got a fear of commitment at night. And what is that? He's got this fear that maybe after we get married down the road, she isn't going to want to have sex as much as I am. She's not going to, maybe there's going to come a time she don't want it at all anymore. And that's a problem. And that could be in the back of his mind as well. Where if I stay a bachelor, leave my options open, I can move along and go elsewhere. See, so there's this fear of commitment that men need to get over for the day and the night. And they need to be secure in their marriage. They need to be satisfied in the marriage. And that's why it's important that both are well watered. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. But you are listening to Understanding the Times. Again, go to SwordAndDoveMinistries.com. Check out our podcast. And you can donate while you're there to help keep us on the radio. But we are coming to you live from the Great Lakes region of North America. Mike Voter VoiceOver brings you the sensational on a planet in a distant galaxy. Your mother can still be heard.
From home.
And scary. Your presidential candidate just lost. And the sexy Mademoiselle Jutem. I'm sorry. Too soon? Mike Voter VoiceOver Productions. For your commercial, call or text me at 216-346-0789 or email me at MikeVoterVoiceOver@gmail.com.
More and more through the years, through all the good and bad, I know how much we had. I've always been so glad to be with you through the years.
Oh, good old Kenny Rogers and Through the Years. He only had five marriages. I'm not sure what went wrong with that, but it's a great song nonetheless. But it should be your song. Hopefully you can stay married through the years and be satisfied by day and night, satisfied in the marriage box by day and the marriage bed by night, husband and wife, that they can enjoy it. Listen, there should be no aging out of the marriage bed. You know, one spouse, now there may be some physical problem that comes up, and there are some legitimate reasons for ED, and that, of course, can be a problem in any marriage. There could be a physical reason for that. It could also be psychological, and it can happen to men who have feel like they've been rejected or cut off by their wives over the years in the marriage bed. And that happens, and that can have an effect. And so that needs to be dealt with in probably a professional way. But again, there should be no aging out of the marriage bed. I remember a caller we had on our last show we did on the marriage bed. He called in. He was in his late 60s at the time, and he said that him and his wife, they have lovemaking frequently. They always have. They've been married for like almost 50 years, that it's something they look forward to. And it's something they even pray most of the time before they even come together in that bed. And I thought, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful testimony. And he said, nobody really wants to talk about this. There's so many unresolved issues, and you need to talk about them with one another. You need to listen to podcasts like this. You know, go back and listen to them. You need to hear good Bible teaching on it, and you may need to see a good professional Christian counselor. And don't listen to Dr. Ruth and those types. All right? So, all right, again, in Genesis 2:24 and 25, it says, Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed. This was before the fall, and it's still the ideal and the goal after the fall. In a Christian marriage, when you're naked together in the marriage bed, neither one of you should feel unashamed. Now, what does that mean? For the wife, usually her, for the wife, it's usually they oftentimes are embarrassed by their bodies. I mean, a woman can, you know, look like a model, and she might still be insecure about her looks and her nakedness. But she needs to know that her husband is still very much attracted to her, loves her, desires her, and she needs to be okay with that. She needs to find security in that, and, you know, that's a good thing. And husbands should not lose that desire and interest and attractiveness to their wives. Now, we have to do our best to keep ourselves in pretty good shape over the years, right? I mean, you don't want to get married and let everything fall apart, right? So each spouse has their responsibility to try to stay in shape, to keep looking good, to dress up, to be sexy at times. Gotta love this sexy voice, right? No, you don't. But listen, what about the husband? When do they feel ashamed when it comes to nakedness? I'll tell you where they usually feel ashamed is when the wife over the years seems to grow to despise their body. And this is a real issue. The wife gets to the point, let's say, where she's not interested that much, not nearly as much as him, doesn't want it as much as him. She's got to resist the temptation. I'm being real here, folks. Resist the temptation to despise his body and to, put him down in some way, make him feel like he's unworthy, make him feel that he's not accepted. Here comes that thing again. No, you can't have that kind of attitude. He's got to know you are his only option. If he's a faithful husband to the faith, true to the bed, and he's fairly attentive, considerate during the day, you need to know you are his only option as a well of water. Solomon says that the woman is a well of water to her husband. He says to the husbands, he addresses the husbands, drink waters out of your own cistern, out of your own well. Let your fountains be blessed. This is Proverbs 5. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be a loving deer. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love. That's Solomon speaking. So yes, men, it's okay to fantasize about your wife. And wives, it's okay that your husband fantasizes about you during the day while he's working, while you're away. Why not? Why wouldn't you want him to? You don't want him to go on the internet and fantasize about some strange woman that he sees pictures or videos of, do you? You don't want him to fantasize about a strange woman because he's dying of thirst, so to speak, on the streets or in the coffee house. Just because he sees a beautiful woman, he's tempted, perhaps, at that moment to fornicate with her mentally, isn't he? That's a real thing. He doesn't even know this woman. In 5 minutes, she's gone. He'll never see her again, probably. But yet, does he cross that line? What is the line? Mental fornication, men, is when you begin to undress her in your mind and you begin to imagine in bed with her, sleeping with her. Now you've crossed the line. You've committed mental fornication. You need to ask God to forgive you, right? The blood of Jesus will forgive you. But these are real things that men deal with, and they deal with them more when there's not enough activity for them in the marriage bed. And sometimes it's a familiar woman that they fantasize about. This is where you get more into mental adultery. It's a woman they know, maybe a woman in the neighborhood, maybe a woman at work, maybe a woman at church. Or for the ladies, it might be a man. They fantasize being with them, not just naked in the marriage bed, but they fantasize being with them, doing things, living it out, almost like a like, what would it be like to be with them, to be married to them? And you got to watch out because that can get deep into your spirit. I've had that happen to me where you begin to imagine this whole other life. So you don't want to let it get to that, Christian wives, Christian husbands. But in Solomon chapter 4, Song of Solomon, he says, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. So he's talking to his wife. This was his first wife he was talking to. This is still when Solomon was a one-woman man. He became a thousand-woman man, and that was a big, big mistake. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. So it's his wife, and she's a believer. He calls her my sister. How much better is thy love than wine? Thou hast ravished my heart with your eyes. This is good stuff. This is sexy. Your lips drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. How does he know they're a French kiss? Talk about passion, baby. I love Song of... They want to say, oh, this is Jesus in the church. This is Solomon and his bride, folks. That's the primary interpretation here. A garden enclosed are you, my sister, my spouse, a spring, a... And then she says, wait for this. You ready for this now? Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Wow. Can you say any more to that? That's Bible. They're saying, what? By the way, you might not want to let your children, but the kids need to learn this stuff sooner or later, right? Especially your teenagers. So you got to start talking about sex in the churches, in home groups, on radio shows. The marriage bed is so critical, so important. Again, 80, 90% of Christian divorces stem from unresolved issues in the marriage bed. We're trying to deal with those here, aren't we? So remember, God judges fornicators and adulterers, especially those that cross the line and do it physically. If you're a Christian husband and you're fornicating with another woman, or you're in an adulterous affair, you better break that off. You better repent and get right. And you may have to even confess to your wife, and vice versa if it's a wife, because God will judge you. Don't think you'll get away with it. There will be a curse that comes down, especially if you're a Christian. So, thing is, let's keep each other well watered at home. That means during the day, plenty of positive words, compliments, flattery, do some nice things, some nice deeds, get a little gift here and there. That's all part of foreplay for the woman especially. But at night, let's keep the marriage bed fresh, vibrant, active. May not happen every night, but hey, keep it going all through the years, as Kenny Rogers said. Style, sorry to overwhelm you here, but hopefully you're looking forward to getting married even more after this show.
It's always a pleasure, Mike.
It's always got to say. Listen, tell your friends and family about Understanding the Times. Check out our podcast at swordanddoveministries.com. 18 categories.
Thanks for tuning into Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Folder, a call-in talk show that looks at current events and major issues of our generation through the lens of the sure word of faith and prophecy.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.